First John chapter 5. Amen. Reminds me of a time, little boy kept acting up in church. His mama told him, says, if you don't be still, I'm going to take you out. He just kept on. She finally stood up with him and started out. I believe it happened here in this church. Started out the door and he looked at his papa and says, pray for me, papa, it's going to be bad. Amen. They learn from an early age when it's going to be bad. Amen. Oh, but I'd rather have them in the house of the Lord here, and they get to where they're a little unruly, but that's okay. I'd rather have them here hearing. It's not a discomfort. It's not something that bothers me to hear children crying in church. It's a blessed sound to know that life's still going on. And this morning, as we read in God's Word, love. That's something we've talked about. Our country needs something that homes need today. We think about Thanksgiving and things like that this time of year, and about the first Thanksgiving there, and the Pilgrims and the Indians coming together. And there's a show on last night talking about the place where the first Thanksgiving took place and all these things. It was recorded. I don't know when it came on. When we set that DVR, I don't know when anything comes on, but we just get to watch it. But talking about that, and it's amazing how that it continued on from that first Thanksgiving that we still celebrated. And how many people will choose that event to be able that evening after the watching the ball games, that they'll drink and they'll have their get-togethers and things, and are not truly thankful for what all God has done for this country. Don't remember the love that He extended to us because He died at Calvary, and how thankful we truly ought to be. We get wrapped up in the fixing the turkey. If you don't believe so, they set up hotlines that you can call to get information on what you've done wrong with your turkey. Now, if you've never fixed a turkey, you better open that thing up and get that plastic bag out of the inside, because it don't smell too good if you cook it with it in it. Not saying that we've ever done that. We've not. I've seen it on television, people that have done that. But don't do that. Don't do that. Don't wait till that morning to try to thaw that bird. You better do it in advance. But we need to thaw our hearts to the love of God, that it may penetrate our heart, and it would be able to change us and flavor us to a sweet savor to God as we offer ourselves a sacrifice unto Him in our service to God. And I'll tell you this from my experience, my sacrifice sometimes is very, very, very small that I give back to God. Very small. I can never repay Him for His salvation. I can never repay Him for all of His love. And sometimes my sacrifice that I give Him as my living sacrifice is small. Because sometimes we get greedy. Yeah, we're all human. And sometimes we get hurt and our service ain't as big as it ought to be because we allow Satan to get a foothold. Sometimes we get burdened down, but just remember the love of God is always there to lift us up and to teach us to love. God loved those that He knew would reject Him. God loved those that He knew would mock Him and spit upon His Son. God still loved them and gave them the same opportunity and still gives it to them today. Those that tend to reject God and say, this is not one nation under God, that we don't follow His leadership. Well, they're right to an extent, but it's because we've left Him. He's not left us. 1 John chapter 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Not born of the doctrine of the world, not born of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or the Tea Party or the Independents or the whatever party, but is born of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's not revealed by the knowledge and understanding of the world. That is revealed by the Spirit of God and His drawing, convicting power. The knowledge that God can give that Jesus is the Christ, the one and only begotten Son of God, whose life was sufficient to pay our sin debt, and for not only ours, but for an entire world. And everyone that loveth Him, that begot, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. We are to love one another as we love God. And as God loves us, If we show His love, that is a sign of us being true Christians, not just saying that we are a Christian, that we believe in Christ and believe that His finished work. But if we don't prove that by our love one to another. Now, we can love one another without liking always what one another does. And families, you know, you love your family, but you don't always like what some family members may do. But you still love them. You still pray for them. You still want to come together because you have a longing to be that family unit. And in the children of God, we should have a longing to want to be that unit together by the love of God. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. And today in this world that we live, the commandments are something that are very seldom spoke of except in a way that they need to be removed because we don't need God's law anymore. God's law tells us what right and wrong is. It defines what sin is. And it lets us know. God gave them to us as commandments, not suggestions. I know you've heard me say that before, but it's still true today. I'm thankful for grace, and through grace I'm saved, through the blood of Jesus, not the Ten Commandments. Amen. But because of those commandments, I know what sin is. Because of those commandments, I know what God expects of me as His child. For this, the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. If we're His child, following His rules is not hard. Not hard. We please Him by being obedient unto His rule. I talked about the bridle in the horse's mouth and the small helm of the ship being able to turn it about. God puts a spirit inside of us that is so big that our bodies can't contain it. But yet He speaks to us with that small, still voice, wanting us to listen. Not thunderings and earthquakes, not having to shake our world to the point that we will hear, but He can speak with a small voice, if we'll only listen. A lot of times we're not listening, so it takes something great to open our eyes. And as much has been going on, look at the Philippines. I think about David De La Paz that came here, there in Manila, the destruction that those folks have faced there in the Philippines with that terrible storm and its strength, and the things that have gone on in our own country, when Hurricane Sandy, when Hurricane Katrina. And why do we blame the leadership when things like this happen? It goes back to home and people being obedient to God and His hand of protection being lifted against us. It's not that they've created the storms, but they've created the environment that God's protection is being withheld from America and from other places. It's time that we return to God. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Victory today. We sang a song, Victory in Jesus, but we don't sing it like we've got victory in Jesus. Now the other night when Allegheny won their ball game, I believe it was against Elkin on Friday night, by way of a game of football players, congratulations, that's a wonderful job. But I bet there wasn't quietness in the stadium when it took place. When they had victory, there was shouting, there was people cheering, there was hands probably clapping, people standing up, whooping and hollering and whistling and carrying on. You say, oh, that's too undignified for church. Jesus Christ won our battle at the cross of Calvary. With one single act of kindness and going to the cross of Calvary and shedding His blood, He saved me from hell. That's worth a little bit of whooping and hollering about. When we think about what God has done for us. And not only that was, then that would have been sufficient. If His death on the cross of Calvary was all He ever done for us, that was sufficient. But He still intercedes with the Father for us. When we pray in His name, He's sitting there talking to the Father. When we're sick, He's sending healing because in His stripes that He took at Calvary, He said that there was healing in those stripes. By His stripes, we are healed. By His example, we know the steps to walk. We're not left without a map. Now, I got a GPS unit, and I thought, well, now it's got on there where you can sit and you can walk with it to certain coordinates. And I was wondering where one of the corners was on my piece of property there at home, and I thought, well, I'll just pull out my old deed here and look that corner up, and I'll program into that GPS the coordinates it says, and I'll be able to walk right to it. And boy, I done that after about 45 minutes of sitting there trying to figure out what button to push and get it all in there, that latitude and longitude and all them things, and all those numbers and stuff. And I thought, boy, I've got her, and I hit that button to go so I could start my journey, and it said I was already there. I wasn't nowhere near the corner I put in, but it said I was there. I'm glad with God, He knows exactly where we're at. And He don't put it in wrong. He knows exactly. And boy, I thought I was tickled. I thought, I won't have to pay a surveyor to come spot that corner, because that's $250 for them to just walk out there and mark out them four corners. I'm going to save me some money. It didn't work like I thought it would. But I got victory in Jesus. Not in Nuvi, not that little Garmin, but in Jesus, because He knows exactly where I'm at. Thank God, when you look for me, when I leave here, I'm at home. My God placing system is already pre-marked, because I went to Jesus when I was 17 years old and said, I want to be your son, and I want you to be my Savior, and I want a home in heaven. And right then He stamped it right on there. And destination heaven. When I leave this world, they don't have to worry about where I'm going, because I know where I'm going, because Jesus saved me, gave me a home. But I've overcome this world because of Him. Through faith and believing in Jesus and His finished work, I've overcome this world. Not because of bread. I couldn't overcome this world. Things of this world get me down just like they do you. Sickness gets me down. Troubles in families gets me down. Seeing people struggle gets me down. But let me tell you, the only way I can overcome that is through Jesus. Amen. Through Jesus. And that's the only way, friend, you can overcome it. It's not in what you can do, what you can accumulate here, but what God can do for you. Through the victory in Him. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. God's Spirit that lives inside of you bears witness to the truth of this word, bears witness to the truth of God when He speaks to you and leads and guides you and helps you be able to discern the spirits when they're speaking. Not every spirit that will talk to you, friend, is of God. And it's important that you know the difference when God speaks and when Satan speaks, because Satan will sound just like God to a certain point. But when he starts going contrary to the word, when it starts saying, oh, you stay out of church, it'll be all right. It's not important to go to the house of God. Satan's got you right where he wants you. Because then he knows he can beat on you. He can wear you down. He can attack you because you start getting weak, because you don't have the fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's got a way in. Well, after 2 or 3 weeks, well, they don't need me down there anyhow. They're all right without me. No, friend. The church is never all right missing a brother or sister. Amen. We need the whole church together and coming in as one. And it's the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. These three are one. You ever get three people together and see the same thing take place, have them write down the story of what took place? You'll get three different points of view. We have four Gospels written by four men who saw four different points of view, but they all agree. They all agree. We have three in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Father and the Word was Jesus. He came down here and took on the flesh of man. And the Holy Ghost, and they bear witness together. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. Agree in one. Do we all agree in one that we've come today to worship? That should be our heart this morning. God should be our center and our focus. And I know things of this world will weigh on our minds. We're all susceptible to that. But it becomes our duty when we come to His house to try to leave those things on the outside to come in true fellowship with God and allow His Spirit to talk to our hearts. I know some are bereaved and brokenhearted and missing loved ones today, but let me tell you, They're waiting in heaven for you. Don't be bereaved and brokenhearted except for your loss, because it was their gain. They're waiting on us in a land where they know no more pain. And that should make us rejoice, knowing that there's a place that is waiting for God's people to go, that we will not suffer the things of this world any longer, that we'll be there and have perfect bodies, able to praise and worship Him. Won't need carpal tunnel surgery anymore, will we, Homer and Philip? We won't have to have those wrists operated on because they're throbbing and killing us because of nerve damage and things. We won't have to have hearts operated on. We won't have to have backs operated on and all these different things, surgeries. We won't have to have gallbladders taken out and different things and all these problems that we have in these bodies because of sin. Not the ones you've committed, but because of Adam and Eve that brought sin to this world. Won't have to have those pains any longer, because we've overcome through the Son of Jesus. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Let me tell you, there's a bunch of people today that are liars because they reject the Son of God. God has given us the witness that Jesus came and died at Calvary, that he was brought in by a virgin birth and was come into the world that he could be pure and have the Father's blood, that he could pay the sin debt. But he came in that form of the flesh to be our kinsman, to pay that sin debt. And friend, if you're here this morning and you're lost, God loves you and wants you to be saved, that you can overcome the world through Jesus, not on your own, because you can't do it on your own. You have to have Jesus to leave this world alive. You say, preacher, I thought we had to die. I done died, and I'm born again, and I'm alive like you've never. If you could see Brad on the inside, it'd probably shock you. It wouldn't me. I'd like to see him. I'd like to see what he looked like. He got to be better looking than this one on the outside. If you don't believe God's got a sense of humor, just look in the mirror. I mean, look around. But God loves us all. And God loves us the same, and he's given us the way to overcome through Jesus, through the Word, through the blood, through the victory that's come through Jesus. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. There is true eternal life. Let me tell you, friend, there's people today saying, oh, there's no life hereafter. You just come and you're a vapor and you go through your life. You die and you go to the grave and that's it. Just like we were animals. But no, that's not the way it is. God gave us something different than he gave the animals. See, God breathed into man the breath of life. And God gave us a soul that he redeemed through Jesus. With the animals, he spoke them into creation. Didn't take no time to form them out of the dust of the earth. But he took time to form man and breathe into man the breath of life. And I think sometimes it's time for us to quit walking around like dirt heaps and start walking around like the children of God. Start walking around like the children of God that we are. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Friend, it don't matter how many vitamins you take, you're not living if you don't have the blood of Jesus. If you don't think the vitamin market's big, you go to Walmart and look down that vitamin aisle. You got everything from A to Z. And sometimes you got three or four of them. You got B, and you got B3, and you got B12, and you got B complex, and you got super B complex, and that's just in the B section. And that's probably ain't all of them. But you got all these vitamins, and oh, we work so hard. And on TV, you need this exercise program, you need that exercise program, and all these different programs, and you can buy them and watch those tapes, and you won't lose a bit of weight. I know. Been there. Done that. But what we need is true life through Jesus, through the blood of the Father, Son. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He didn't say leave you in a fog and that maybe you'll be saved, maybe you won't be saved, and you won't know till you die. He didn't say that. He said that you may know that you have eternal life. Friend, you can know that you are saved and that you are ready to go to heaven by the blood of Jesus. Because what the Word of God tells us, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And friend, there's so many today that are believing in what the preacher said and not what the Bible said. We have to take God's word to be all truth and all men liars. Now let me tell you why I say that, because the Word of God says it. And if the Word is spoken in truth, then you can hold it in truth. But if it goes contrary to the Word, then friends, stay away from it. We have to follow the Word. Not just flirty little messages that makes our feelings feel good and puffs us up with pride, but those that step on our toes, because God loves us. And God said that He wouldn't let us go out here and just live any old way. He had a standard. He's made us separate and a peculiar people. We are to be different. These things have I written unto you that believeth on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can believe in the name of Jesus, because it is sufficient. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, I don't know about y'all, but some of your spouses, and you don't have to have a show of hands, any of your spouses got selective deafness? Oh, her husband's not with her, so she raised... Oh, we'll deal with that after church. We hear sometimes what we want to hear. But God hears with His heart and with His ears. He hears our prayers. If we're willing to go to Him and pray in His Son's name, it says He heareth us. He heareth us, not maybe, not three or four times, but when we go and we pray in the name of Jesus and according to God's will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. It says we know that we had the petitions. Do we lack faith when we pray? Do you pray expecting God to answer, or do you pray expecting, well, I don't know? Do you have more confidence that your car is going to start when you go outside than you have in God delivering on a prayer request that you've given to God? It says right here plainly. If we're in the right place with God and we pray and we ask in Jesus' name and it's in God's will, He says He hears us, and if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we will have the petitions that we desire of Him. Do we go to God in prayer believing He's going to answer? Many times I don't think we do, and we lack things because we've not asked with faith believing that He's going to answer. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he should pray for it. There are people that are going to sin unto death. They are going to keep rejecting salvation to the point where God doesn't deal with their heart any longer, and there's not going to be any hope for them because God withdraws His Spirit from them. And what a sad time that's going to be. We need to pray that while God is dealing with hearts, and while they have not got to that point yet that they have shunned God to that point, we need to pray that they get saved and that God deal with their heart again and will draw them unto Him, because He is the only one. Not the preacher standing at the casket is going to be able to save them. Not the preacher standing before you today can save anyone, but it's through Jesus Christ and His convicting power by God the Father, and Him drawing and applying the blood to your life is the only salvation that I can tell you about that's worth a hill of beans today, is knowing Jesus as your Savior. None of these other things that are fly-by-night ways to get to heaven are going to last. Only the one that God provided through Jesus Christ will ever stand. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now there's a part that's inside of you that's been saved by God that does not sin. He's the perfect part of you. But you can let your carnal flesh sin if you so allow it to. The flesh can sin, but that part that God has saved can no longer sin because it's covered by the blood. You're not going to sin back to the point that you're back out of the blood of Jesus and get lost again. Once you're sealed, he said you were sealed to the day of redemption, but it doesn't give us the right to go out here and willfully do it. To be a child of God means that we are to live as Christ would. Would you find Christ down in the bar drinking whiskey and beer with his buddies and partying it up watching the Super Bowl? No, you wouldn't. You don't find it nowhere in God's Word where he was doing that. You don't find where he is going to the strip clubs and doing all these things out here that the world's doing today. You didn't see that. You didn't see him out here doing drugs with his friends out behind the barn and all these other things. You didn't see that out of Jesus Christ. So he don't expect it out of us. He expects us to live a life patterned after the life of Christ. After the life of Christ. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Friend, you're in the best place that you can ever be, gathered together, one mind, one body, worshiping God. This should be the one place where you are aggravated the least, where the things of this world bother you the least, in the house of God. Because gathered together with God's people, we should have a force combined together through our spirits that's so strong that Satan has no way to get in. But once we go out those doors, we're under attack. And we've got the same God that we serve here in the church. He's out there with us in the world to walk with us daily, to protect us, to help us, because the world lieth in wickedness. If you don't believe it, you watch the news. How many kidnappings, how many killings, how many that are busted for drugs, how many that are abusing their families because of turmoil. You look and see in the newspaper all the things that are happening. And it can be depressing if you don't know God. But because I know Him, I know it means I'm just getting closer home. His Bible's being fulfilled, and it's coming close to the journey that we're going to take to be with Him forever. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in the Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The true God and eternal life. Last Sunday night we had a singing group here, Noah's Faith. They've done a great job singing for us. Continue to pray for them as they go. They're going to try to be back sometime in the spring. We're going to get together again, March or April sometime, so they'll be back sometime along that time. It'll also be about time for our revival. So we need to be praying. We need to be praying now that God would send to us the revival that He's got in store for us. Give us that understanding that we may know Him that is true. That God will show to us the true Spirit of God and true leadership through God. Says in verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Now, what can be idols in our life? Our jobs, we can make them idols if they take a place of serving God. This time of year for you men, deer hunting. Maybe for you ladies, it might be, I'm not this pampered chef. And I'm not, that just when it comes because y'all had that thing yesterday, it just made me think of it. Or Christmas shopping, we can make that an idol. They make it an idol in the stores because they already advertise. Black Friday's not good enough. We got to start starting on Thursday. Pretty soon they're going to start starting on the 4th of July for Black Friday for Christmas sales because they're trying to corner the market, get a little more money. We've commercialized what Thanksgiving is. We've commercialized what Christmas is to the point that it's lost its meaning. What is Christmas to you? What you can get or what Jesus was, is, and still is today? Do we still have Jesus in the manger? I hope not. He's past the manger. He came that way, but He's no longer there. Do we have Him on the cross of Calvary? Friend, He's no longer on no cross. He's not even in the tomb. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, what the Word says. He's waiting for His children to come home. Friend, He's waiting for you, if you're lost, to surrender to Him to get saved. Will you surrender to Jesus today? He loves you. He gave His life for you. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to keep yourself from idols. He wants you to be true love, because He loved you and He wants you to share that love with others. Sometimes we forget that in these busy lives that we live. We're so busy living, we don't have time. We don't have time to live the life that God expects of us. We're so caught up with our own life. But Jesus said to live and to love as God loves. Do you love that way this morning? Do you have that love in your heart that only God can give you through Jesus Christ? Friend, if you're not saved this morning, this would be the best time that I know of for you to surrender to Him. You say, why is this the best time? Because if He's dealing with your heart and you know that you're lost, then you need to be saved. It might be the last time God deals with your heart. You say, well, preacher, that's scary. It is scary. How many people are in that shape today? This may be your last time that God knocks at your heart's door. You say, oh, well, there's a baby shower after church. I don't want to interrupt it, friend. You're not going to. You're not going to. It'd be great to bring another babe in Christ into the world. Amen. And let you get on the milk and then go to the meat of God's Word. He loves you this morning. I can't tell you how much more He loves you than He loves you. He loves you before you ever knew Him. He loves you before you was ever born. He loved you before you was ever in this world. God loved you and gave His Son for you. He knew when you would come. He knew where you would be today. And He knew when He would convict your heart and draw you. Will you surrender and come to Him this morning, I ask you. As I get a song prepared of invitation, will you please come? As we stand to our feet and bow our heads,